This is the Great Shy Ann from the Hellfire Symphony, and you're listening to the Oversell Podcast. Stay tuned with them, or I'm going to send you to hell!
It is episode 119, and we are talking everything in professional wrestling. Get ready. This is the Oversell Podcast! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I am Mike.
And we are here to talk some professional wrestling. Sorry we've been away for a while, but
life happens.
Life gets in the way. We're just a podcast that talks about wrestling and a couple other things. It's good to have you back, Mike.
It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while.
It's just been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? But a lot going on in the wrestling world. We've got Elimination Chamber coming in this week featuring the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match. First ever seven-man Elimination Chamber match. I mean, it looks like they're trying to branch out this year and, change what the things they've done this year.
Lots of firsts.
Yeah, and part of that to me, it seems like that's Triple H just getting a tad bit more power.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you saw that on Raw this week when you had the gauntlet match that took up, the first hour of the show, it felt like.
Oh, it was almost 2 hours.
I mean, that... And
but I actually read that was Vince's idea. Like,
wow.
He's always been against, you know, long matches on TV, but they said he came up with that just out of nowhere. He approved everything that they decided to do with it, and it went over incredibly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's incredible that I find that just crazy to believe that old Vince would have something to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks like Triple H is getting more power. 205 Live.
Yeah.
One thing I like about what they're doing with 205 Live. They have a character like Rockstar Spud or Drake Maverick.
Right.
He is a manager management character, but he's being taken very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It screams Gorilla Monsoon. You know, he was a type of authority figure that was going to be respected.
Right.
And that, to me, that changes everything with the show. I love them getting a general manager.
It gives it more of a legit feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it, they're also letting the guys work, just letting them do their thing. And that is the best thing possible for what you have in that company. So now they have this tournament now. It's going to culminate at WrestleMania, which I get to see live. Yes.
And I like how they're spreading it out like that far.
Yeah, smart. It's smart. It gives them plenty of time, plenty of television to write.
Right.
You've seen Mark Andrews in this tournament. I think he's a new signee.
Yeah, he used to be in Impact.
Who was he in Impact?
He was just Mandrews.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark Andrews Mandrews.
That sounds like a username for a company.
Yeah.
Like what when your first day is, all right, your username is Mandrews. Don't go telling everybody your password or something like that. That's
exactly
what it is.
Yeah.
That give him a name. Just call him Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the wrestling right now, 2018, I think has gotten off to a great start for the WWE.
Oh yeah.
For professional wrestling in general.
Yeah.
We had,
but surprisingly for WWE.
Yeah. This was the most different Raw I think we've seen in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you started off with a match.
Yeah.
It didn't start with some promo or anything like that.
It kind of did, but I mean, it very short, and, you know, they were already out there starting to wrestle within, you know, what seemed like 5 minutes of opening.
Yeah. But a lot of action, and that's, I want matches.
Yeah.
I want solid matches. That's all I want. That's why I like NXT so much. It's why I love New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's wrestling. It's just wrestling. I love what they did in that match. They made Seth Rollins get over huge.
Oh, yeah.
With two big wins. I think Elias looks strong. Finn, it looks... I see a situation where we're going to get Finn and Miz for the IC title.
That would be nice.
At WrestleMania. I think that would be a good idea. I think Finn, as much as I want him to be the top champion, I think he would be a great Intercontinental champion.
Mm-hmm.
It would harken back. And the Miz, is one of those Intercontinental champions, too, to where they're giving it to one of their best workers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, used to be Hulk Hogan sold the tickets, but you came to see Rick Rude, you came to see Kurt Hennig, you came right. to see these people because they were putting on awesome matches. You were the workhorse of that company, and I think Finn could fill that role nicely. And plus, I think Miz and Finn play off of each other better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
And I think they put on a good show. Miz has been in top form for 2 to 3 years now in everything he's doing. It sets up a big moment to where you're going to get the Good Brothers helping him out, taking out the Miztourage. You know, there's that setup too. So,
because when you've already got the numbers for that to work.
Yep. So I can see that. I can also see maybe Braun going after that IC title.
See, that's what I thought. Braun, that's what I'd heard. That's going to be Braun's, you know, big match because he hasn't held a title, has he?
No. No, he never, with the Wyatts, he never did anything.
No.
I mean, hell, Bray Wyatt got a title run for 2 months, and we all know how that went last year.
Yeah, it was only a month.
It seemed, yeah, I guess that's me giving credit to Bray.
Yeah.
And, like, speaking of Bray, kind of to segue here, do you care about this Bray Wyatt-Matt Hardy feud?
Not really. And that's sad to say because, you know, two of the best characters out of wrestling in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just not living up to the hype.
Well, I think part of it is they're not trying to do the type of television you need to make that Matt Hardy character great. They're not going to do those weird camera angles. They're not going to do shooting
off-site promos. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. What do you think, speaking of promos, these cell phone promos, all these people are putting in now. What do you think of those?
I mean, it makes sense because that's the age we're in now. I mean, anybody can post anything from anywhere as long as you've got a cell phone. And I guess they're trying to add more realism to it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these guys are in character all the time. They could just pull their phone out. Here's the promo. I mean, they're done for a little bit.
Yeah, it just seems like one person did it, and they're like, and I could just see, oh, that's a great idea. Let's keep it going. You know what I miss? I miss promos where Mean Gene's out for an interview, and they have the bad backdrops, you know,
yep.
with the name of the pay-per-view in the back and everything like that. And I guess the thing I loved about those is Mean Gene was interviewing them, and they were looking in the camera when they talked. It wasn't – I hate these, you got to pretend the camera's not there bullshit.
Yeah.
We know it's there.
How we're seeing it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's just, that's just so annoying. Like, two guys are going to have that kind of conversation. Like, it doesn't feel authentic to me. I think that's why I hate it so much. But I want to go back to, you know, the promos with the backdrops, you know, with Charlie Caruso, Renee Young,
right,
interviewing people, and I guess they're...
I mean, they still do that, but...
Yeah, well, and here's another thing. When's the last time you watched television, standing to the side of it...
When I have people recording me so they can see my reaction to what I'm watching?
Like, how do you... I just... That's just beyond stupid.
When we start doing more YouTube videos, that's how we're going to have it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk... We're going to have, like, the computer set over here so we can, like, look at notes and stuff, but we're going to have the camera back in the corner behind us where we're all... You know, we're going to constantly be, like, craning our neck around just to read what's on there, but... Yeah, it's just one of those things that they think is a good idea.
Yeah, just...
And it's really... It's only WWE that does it.
Yeah.
I mean, any other promotion, they don't have, you know, their wrestlers backstage watching TV.
You know, I want wrestlers, like, here's a great idea for a manager. A guy, and we've had him on the show. I can't think of his name right now. Kelly James, I think. Kelly James. he's a kind of wrestler. He has notes. You know, I want a wrestler with a manager that's watching tape, you know, watching tape,
right,
footage, analyzing weaknesses and strengths. And, hey, if he's going to do this, like if I was a manager, I'd have tape on John Cena. He's going to, you're get at some point.
when he comes with the first shoulder tackle, stay down.
Don't throw that punch. Do not, at this point, do not throw a punch. Fake the punch. When he ducks, kick him in the head.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see some wrestler do that. Every one of them throws that stupid punch and it gets on my nerves every time.
Mm-hmm. Or after the first shoulder tackle, stay down and roll out the ring.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Instant, you have a character that could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we, and that could go for tons of different, you know, people.
Yeah, I guess that's why I love New Japan so much is, you know, you don't get bits like that.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, John Cena's made a ton of money out of doing everything he's done,
yep.
So I can't fault the guy. And, you know, I saw a video not too long ago, and it was of John Cena, and it was people thanking him for all he does. Like,
yeah, I know the video you're talking about.
After I saw that, I was like, I get it now. John Cena can never, after that commercial, he can never, ever turn heel.
Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, there seems to be some sort of weird change for character for him. I saw it at the Rumble. He's like, I'm just trying to get to WrestleMania. And that's, you know, that's kind of shrugging off the Boy Scout Superman approach.
He's just trying to, I guess the character's taking a more realistic turn.
Yeah, he's just,
when you start,
that's more heelish when you start justifying your actions.
Right.
When you have to start justifying
But it's
your
almost
actions.
You know, you're going to boo me and you're going to cheer me no matter what.
Right.
It doesn't matter what I do, what reaction I'm going for, you're still going to do what you want. So I'm just going to tell you how it is.
And then he does great stuff. Like you see the special needs guy sitting ringside and he goes
right.
over and hangs out with him, gives him a hug. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, damn you, John Cena. You make this room too dusty sometimes. Did you see what he did for the kid in Memphis?
I don't think so.
So there's a special needs student. I forgot the kid's name, but WREG Channel 3 covered a lot of it. And this girl who was a good friend of this kid, she was not special needs,
right.
But he was. But they have a very close friendship, and she really likes him and stuff. And she wanted help asking him to prom, and John Cena is his favorite wrestler. So John Cena cut a quick – it took 30 seconds.
Right.
John Cena cut a quick promo asking the kid to prom for the girl. And, you know, that I guarantee you it made that kid's life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you start looking at celebrities and you have people like, you know, John Cena uses his fame for shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many Make-A-Wishes does he do a year?
Oh, he's like number one all time.
Right. He does like 300 or something, 300 or so a year.
Oh, yeah.
When is the last time you saw a Kardashian doing something like that? I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. I was watching.
But I mean, what little kid wants to meet a Kardashian?
My point is.
I understand what you're saying. It's a whole charity work.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. When was the last time you saw the Kardashians outside of their reality show? Because you know that's not real.
Yeah.
You know, the episode where they find this homeless guy and help him out and clean him up and. You know, then he doesn't drink anymore. I guarantee you that dude took whatever money he made for that appearance.
You've watched far more than I've ever known.
Abby used to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other day I was channel surfing and I came across now Kylie Jenner has her own show. And no joke, these are the words I heard during the show. It's hard to take the perfect selfie. Like, Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah.
That's
first world problems.
Oh my God! And I was like, people watch this stuff, and then don't even get me started on the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing because I think that was all a setup so they could get more money out of E.
Oh yeah,
but we won't go there. We won't go there. I'm probably gonna get in trouble for the. I have no problem with transgendered people. I promise I don't. I really don't.
And the bad thing about that is in the times that we're in now, you have to say that.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Because somebody's going to get offended about something.
Right. I have no problem with the transgender folks out there. It's your life. I have no say in what you do with your life. Your body, do whatever the heck you want to do with it.
Yeah. And somebody's going to be offended now that, you know, I said that they were going to be offended. So
yeah,
now I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you play too many violent video games. So.
Yeah, because, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you know, all that.
I allow that to take over my life and
yeah, anyway,
control my actions.
Back to wrestling. So, yeah, it's just great to see John Cena using his celebrity and popularity for something other than taking the perfect selfie or getting millions and millions of dollars out of E or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, last time, I don't think I've ever seen Kris Jenner do much for charity or anything like that. Anyway,
have like a hatred for the whole Kardashian thing, don't you?
I do. They're famous for all the wrong reasons. You know, at least John Cena had to put his body through tons and tons of pain and work and
he truly
travel.
Earned his.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sex tape and then the whole family's famous.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you ever watch? You know what you need to watch? Did you get to see the O.J. Simpson thing they did on FX?
I haven't watched it.
David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian was great, and there's a scene that always sticks out to me that I always think of that movie. When the kids heard their name on television, they started chanting it. I'm like, that says so much about today. Kardashian. I'm like, oh my god, that says so much about them. So,
Something we should do. We should do something really stupid and just see how famous we can get off of it.
Well, you can make a sex tape. I'm not going to make it with you, but
okay.
I mean, I'm sure you can. Hey, get in touch with Mad Braddocks, and y'all can work something out there. Just kidding.
He knows how to do that. So,
let's see. What else from Raw? I can't think of anything else too crazy that happened other than the really long gauntlet match. What did you think of Braun a couple of weeks ago? We didn't get to talk about this coming out with that giant.
That was great.
You know, stand-up bass.
Yeah, the stand-up bass.
That he, like, broke a string on barely. It looked like he was barely plucking it, but.
Oh, yeah. He said that was totally unplanned. Like, that just happened.
Well,
the craziest thing about that whole thing is when he broke the bass on Elias's back, he did it with the string side, like, to his back.
And Elias took it and was back the next week.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you got the strings, the bridge, then you got the casing itself, and
you think that I'm sure that was some sort of it wasn't a true stand up bass.
I don't know. I mean, it looked legit. I mean, if not, they have a great props department.
I'm gonna tell you the surprise probably for the week, probably for the month, and probably for the year. And I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
Jeff Jarrett going in to the WWE Hall of Fame. How surprising is that to you?
It's not a name you would have thought of.
I wouldn't. No, no way. No way. Oh. Absolutely. The only man, I believe he was the only man publicly fired during the invasion, right? I can't think of anyone that was pointed out and not fired other than him.
Mm-hmm.
There's just such a tumultuous history between the WWE and Jeff Jarrett. He came in, he was fired. Then he came back, fired again, goes to WCW, chance he can come back, fired. Worked for
Impact. He started TNA.
Started TNA, WWE's biggest competitor, although they weren't much of a competitor.
Right.
They
sure took all the old stars from them, though.
Yeah. Well, and now they have a couple of Impact-made guys. You got AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. You know, who else is some...
EC3.
EC3's coming in.
Rockstar Spud.
Drake Maverick. I was just shocked.
Bobby Roode.
When people were saying it was a rumor, I'm like, there is no way. There is no way Jeff Jarrett is going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. And then they announced it. I'm like, wow. Truly shocked.
Me and friend John, been on the show, works with me at the Grizzlies. We were talking about it, and, you know, Jeff Jarrett was just recently at wrestling night for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
And, you know, we were joking that, the only reason he got in is because he held the Grizzly Weight World title.
God.
And, you know, that does so much for your career.
I got to see him a couple of years ago take on Jerry Lawler again at the Legends of Memphis Wrestling Show in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and I did get his autograph. That's just interesting. So,
yeah.
Who do you think inducts Jeff Jarrett into the WWE Hall of Fame? I'm thinking it's going to be one of two people.
Okay.
It's going to be either Lawler for the history those two guys have, or it's going to be Road Dogg.
I can see him going with Road Dogg.
I think Road Dogg is going to be... I was talking to Arnez, who's been on the show before, and he was thinking that AJ Styles is going to do them because they're TNA history. And I'm like, I think they're going to acknowledge TNA impact a little bit.
They're going to acknowledge that he started it. They're not going to acknowledge anything.
Right. And I just think Road Dogg, because, you know, Road Dogg got into the WWE with Jarrett.
Right.
As far as that singing duo, or and I have a feeling it's just going to be the Road Dogg. He's a writer backstage. Now, if they go with Lawler, I can see that too, because Memphis Wrestling Lawler. So we are going to.
But typically they don't.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop Jeff Jarrett from talking about Memphis Wrestling.
Oh yeah,
as
he's definitely
getting
could. Yeah.
So that's what I will be excited to hear about old Memphis Wrestling days.
But he probably won't.
Well,
there's the possibility,
they can't control those speeches. We all know that. They'll go on as like that damn Fabulous Freebird speech from a couple years ago. We are not going to the Hall of Fame from WrestleMania. That's going to be right at when we will be at the WWN Super Show, Mercury Rising.
So the Friday night.
Yep. 8:00. And did I tell you what one of the main events of that match, of that show is?
You probably did.
So Will Ospreay is going to be there.
Okay, yeah.
From New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he's taking on Matt frickin' Riddle, the King of Bros. So that's another show I want to get early, because I got to get a picture with Matt Riddle. I love Matt Riddle, and I'm really excited to see Timothy Thatcher is going to be wrestling. And I mean, that whole show is going to be great. And then Progress that afternoon, so there's a chance we can see Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, you know, outside of WWE UK.
Yeah.
We got Ring of Honor, Saturday night, Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes. Yep. I think as of right now, that is the match I am most excited to see that weekend.
Understandable.
Ryan Droste is going to be going down for WrestleMania. I think we're going to all the same shows. So
nice.
For the Progress show, we're going to be sitting general admission. So we'll probably be hanging out. Arnez, I think, is going to try to go to that show. Fred, I know Fred, who's been on the show before, Shaggy's going to be down there.
Right.
We're all going to the same Ring of Honor show. I don't think they're going to WWN Super Show. I'm also, the WrestleCon's going on that weekend, too.
Yep.
So maybe Saturday, if I can talk to Ted, we'll do WrestleCon during the day Saturday and go straight from there to Ring of Honor. Because I'm getting in line for the meet. I know there's going to be a meet and greet for Ring of Honor. I am getting a damn Kenny Omega autograph and picture. I am not missing the chance to take a picture with Kenny Omega, you know, and any of the other. There's, you know, you never know what New Japan stars are going to be there. Kushida could be there.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited. That's going to be such a fun weekend.
Tennille Dashwood
will be down there. She's in Women of Honor. She's going to be doing that stuff.
Yeah, she's in that tournament.
Yeah. So maybe they'll be working the Ring of Honor show. There's just so much going on, and I'm so excited.
You might get to see the Briscoes. I love them.
Are they? Oh, they're in Ring of Honor too,
yeah.
Aren't they? Yeah. Golly, there's that Super Card of Honor show is going to be so much fun.
And is it in the title match? Dalton Castle and Jay Lethal, or is that prior to then?
I didn't even think about that. I'm going to get to see Dalton Castle too.
Versus Jay Lethal.
Oh my gosh, that.
Dalton Castle is awesome.
I like Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
I like Dalton Castle. I like Jay Lethal. I mean, there's nothing I'm not excited for. I mean, I wasn't excited for it, I wouldn't have bought the
exactly.
tickets.
Yeah.
So then we got WrestleMania Sunday. So we'll be there for 5 hours of it.
You in NXT?
No, that's the same night as Ring of Honor.
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
It was either Ring of Honor, which I've seen, or NXT. I've been to an NXT show before, so I'm like, I got to see something. And it was after we bought the tickets, they announced Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes. And I'm like, holy. I called Ted immediately. I'm like, dude, we're going to get to see Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes. He's like, I don't know who those are, but they sound awesome. And I'm like,
so that's gonna be the trade-off. You're going to see that match, but you're going to miss like Adam Cole in some match at WrestleMania.
I'm guaranteeing Aleister Black's, I think, is going to be wrestling for the title at TakeOver that weekend.
Well, I'm sure Adam Cole is going to have a match. I mean, it's WrestleMania weekend.
Right. I think you're going to get Aleister Black versus Cien Almas. That'll be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, I don't know what this stuff, did you
see? WrestleMania, it could be Triple Threat or whatever.
Well, did you see what Velveteen Dream tweeted or something?
I didn't see it. Like, it wouldn't load when I clicked on it earlier. But, I mean, I saw, you know, he was shooting on indie wrestlers or something like that.
Which, what indie wrestler did NXT just sign?
I don't know which one.
Ricochet.
Oh, yeah, Ricochet. Okay.
So
I know, they sign people all the time. I don't know.
Do you think they could? That could be a. I think that's kind of a work to set up Ricochet and Velveteen Dream.
Quite possibly.
So there's that to look forward to. I'll watch a show on the iPad afterwards or something like that. But I got to go to. I can't miss. I can't miss Kenny Omega,
especially since you already got tickets.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm so excited. I can't say it enough how excited I am. Let's look at Elimination Chamber this weekend.
One more quick thing about
going
back to Raw. Yeah. You know, Seth Rollins looked like just the man.
Yeah, he looked awesome.
And, you know, that match broke a couple records. He had the longest time in a match in WWE history, like 65 minutes and something. So, I mean, that's longer than, like, some people were in the Royal Rumble. I mean, it's single match. He got that record. And then the match itself was like the longest televised match, which was like 120 something minutes. So it was like, you know, 2 hour match. And that overtook a couple Bruno matches or something.
Wow. Wow. That's very cool.
And then the big thing that I know will it'll get you going is the fact that in one night, Seth Rollins wrestled longer than Brock Lesnar has the entire year of since he held the title.
Makes sense. That I mean,
one night he wrestled more minutes than Brock Lesnar has defending the title.
I think I'm going to be happy to see Brock drop the title at Mania to someone that's actually
to Roman Reigns.
To Roman Reigns, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
to someone that's actually going to be on Raw every week. You know, your title may actually start meaning something again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Elimination Chamber. Go from. What'll probably be the opening match to the main event. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Titus O'Neil and Apollo.
Apollo.
He's not Apollo Crews
anymore.
Apollo.
Just like Cesaro lost Antonio a long time ago.
Yeah. And Sheamus lost Sheamus McFinnigan.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't think he is. McFinnigan. There's no way Cesaro and Sheamus are losing the tag titles to Apollo and Titus O'Neil, right? Especially in Elimination Chamber. They're going to lose it. They got to lose it to a big tag team. Holy shit. They keep the tag titles till after WrestleMania. Now, War Machine's going to NXT, aren't they?
Probably.
Man, what if War Machine showed up the next night after Raw to challenge for the tag team titles?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. But I think they're going to go the NXT route. Or, AOP.
Yeah, they could come up.
I think that's going to be your most logical call-up after WrestleMania. Here we are talking about the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania before we even talk about Elimination Chamber. But, yeah, there's no way Cesaro and Sheamus losing a tag titles to Titus O'Neil and Apollo.
I wouldn't mind it if they did.
Yeah.
I mean, Titus Worldwide is... They're impressing people now. I mean, they're actually getting some time and
they're
entertaining.
You add Dana Brooke to them and they get entertaining all of a sudden.
I guess so.
Isn't that crazy to say?
Yeah,
I'm taking Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah,
Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt.
I have no fucking clue.
It's a really hard match to call, and it's also why should we care about this match? They've done nothing to make Bray a super monster or an interesting character. He cuts fantastic promos and then loses matches.
Yep.
The Woken Matt Hardy character has nothing behind it. There's no story to it. This is just a bland setup. It's
very disappointing.
This is more bland than Michael McGillicuddy and what was his tag team partner? The bland leading the bland, the David Otunga, were a tag team after the Nexus. This is more bland than those two guys together, and I can't find.
Were they the tag team? I thought he was with.
No, it was Michael McGillicuddy or Curtis Axel and David Otunga after Nexus.
Okay, because for a while they were teaming. I guess it was still when it was Nexus, when he was with. What was Bray Wyatt's name before that?
Husky Harris.
Husky Harris, yeah. Because they were a tag team for a while.
Yeah, but this was after that. Because Husky Harris was still in. They were still doing... That was when they were doing the new Nexus.
Yeah.
And then after,
like,
I think
the new Nexus and then the core or whatever when they split it up. And
yeah, and then Hardy, well, then Harris went down to NXT, got injured, and then had to come back. And
repackaged.
And came back as Bray Wyatt and tore it up in NXT and can't do anything on the main roster. As far as a winner, like, I almost don't care.
Yeah, but it's really hard to call because, you know, Bray Wyatt's the younger, I mean, he's been around for a while now, but he's still kind of the up-and-comer compared to the Hardys.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think, okay, he goes over because, you know, you bring Matt in just for the draw, but he's going to be, you know, he's getting closer to the end of his career, so he's going to help enhance, you know, younger talent. But then again, it's Matt Hardy, and, you know, the fans have been waiting for this gimmick for years. And you would think, okay, well, they can't blow it. They, you know, he's got to get a win here. But either way, somebody really gets screwed.
Yeah, I think Bray Wyatt's going to be around for a while, so I think Matt Hardy's going to get some sort of weird win. Hopefully, they turn on the weird for this match. And not when I say weird, don't project some shit on the fucking mat. Just don't. That's when I say weird. That's not what I mean. And don't do what was that match with? What was that dumb shit with Orton?
The House of Horrors?
Yeah, the House of Horrors match. Be sure you say that right, because if you say it too fast, like in Texas, House of Horrors. Horrors. But yeah, I think Woken Matt gets the win. It's not like they care about Bray Wyatt anyway.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that.
Asuka versus Nia Jax.
Asuka.
Damn. Don't even want to talk about it?
I'm just saying, she's going to win.
I hope so.
They're not gonna end her winning streak.
Yeah, you can't sacrifice Asuka's winning streak to add Nia Jax to the title match or whatever she's in at WrestleMania.
Right. They're not going to end her streak before she wins a title.
Yeah, they better not. You say not, they're not, but, you know.
I mean, with anybody that, you know, could break the streak, Nia Jax should be the one to do it.
Yeah, but further down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, it shouldn't be Nia Jax.
Well, I mean, Rousey.
No. Shayna Baszler. She would be. That's who I want to see.
That'd be a long way down the road.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't think. You know what?
Because, I mean, it's going to take a monster heel to beat her.
So, Asuka, later down the road, because Asuka and Ronda Rousey need to stay as far away as possible from each other right now. So, maybe next year. Next year. I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to do some fantasy booking.
Okay, so she's going to choose to go against Charlotte.
Yeah. Who? Asuka?
Asuka.
No, she's going to stay Raw.
I think she'll choose. Well, if you want to keep them as far apart as possible,
so,
she would choose.
She chooses Charlotte. Rousey comes.
Moves to SmackDown since Rousey's coming to Raw.
Yep. And so further down the road, Asuka, Shayna Baszler debuts. Asuka barely gets a win. Barely over Shayna Baszler. And after the match, she's so frustrated because of what it took to beat her, she starts attacking Shayna Baszler after the match, and viciously, just beating the hell out of her. Beating the hell. Who does that piss off the most? Ronda Rousey. She comes to her friend's aid. And the next pay-per-view after that, which if you did it right, could be WrestleMania, Asuka, Ronda Rousey. Double down on it if you really want to make it special. Rousey's undefeated at the time, too. Two undefeated streaks going into WrestleMania. One is one of the biggest women's combat sports person ever. And the other is, you know, the most dominant force. By then, it would be the most dominant female force ever in professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, hire me. How do I know to do this stuff, right? I mean, would that not tell a great story?
Yeah.
You've got Ronda Rousey. She's been tearing through people left and right on the main roster. She took on all three members of the Riot Squad at one time and beat them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do that just to get her over. WrestleMania 35, Rousey versus Asuka. Champion versus champion.
Like title unification or
just champion versus champion?
Streak versus streak.
Yep. Streak versus streak, champion versus champion.
But now that we've said all that, you know, at some point in the next 3 months, Lana is going to pin Asuka in some roll-up win.
They had better not do that. I do love that.
It's going to happen on Rusev Day.
I do love that after Lana won her match in the mixed match challenge, how they played to how exciting it was for her to get her first win. Yeah. I like that. As for this match, yeah, Asuka's going to win.
Yeah.
Easily. Which brings us to the first ever WWE Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Raw's Women's Championship.
Yes.
Alexa Bliss, the champion, versus Bayley, versus Mandy Rose, versus Mickey James, versus Sasha Banks, versus Sonya Deville. What do you think about how they've set everything up with this match?
It's been all right. I mean, yeah, the whole story of is the match itself, you know, being the first women's match, you know. There's not many firsts that the women can have now match-wise. I mean, they're knocking them down, you know, every few months, and I think that's great. I mean,
yeah.
It's time
yeah.
for, you know, the equality of it, you know. If,
yeah.
if the guys can have these, you know, high-profile matches, the women should as well. I think Bliss is going to keep it.
I do, too. I do. You know, what?
There's nobody in this match that I can see them giving the championship to unless it was Sasha, but they're not going to do that.
Now, let me ask you this. I know why they're probably in this match is due to, you know, that's some of the only talent they have. But is this type of match too early for someone like Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville?
Not really.
Okay.
I think this kind of match is good for somebody, you know, as green as these two still are. Or is new to the roster. I mean, because, you know, they never consider being an NXT really,
mm-hmm.
you know, part of the WWE. You know, it's mm-hmm. they've made it to WWE now that they're on Raw. And since this is more of a gimmick match, you know, it's easier to guide them through. You
okay.
know, it's not just regular straight wrestling match. There's other stuff that can be incorporated. So it'll get them seen because it's a high-profile match, but it's safe in the regards that it doesn't have to be, you know, their skill set doesn't have to be exposed.
So, let's say this. Well, we also have the contract signing of Ronda Rousey
right.
that night. Sasha Banks, if Sasha Banks somehow won, could we see Sasha versus Ronda at WrestleMania?
No.
You don't think so?
It'd be Bliss getting...
You think
rematch.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking right now, the whole thing that they're wanting to do with Ronda Rousey is they're wanting to have her in a tag team match at WrestleMania
okay.
against Triple H and Stephanie.
My God, if Stephanie even gets a lick in on her, it's one too many. She's allowed to get one.
Right.
One slap, that unleashes Ronda. I mean, if they try to make Stephanie some sort of a star using Ronda Rousey, they are making a big mistake. And that kind of scares me.
Yeah.
That does. I mean, Stephanie's, you know, she's put male superstars down without second thought, you know, and I don't think she'd have a problem doing it to another woman.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I mean, this easily could be used to elevate Stephanie.
It better not.
But Ronda's going to get her win.
Yeah, I hope so.
Unless it's another Sting thing.
So you think Kurt Ronda versus Triple H and Steph?
That's pretty likely right now. They were wanting Rock and Ronda originally, but their movie schedule, and even if he is free, you know, insurance isn't going to let him wrestle
he's
in line for, you know,
and
movie.
You know what's funny is people, you know, when Ronda debuted, everyone was like, oh, I would have been excited for this if it was 2 years ago. Like, that's when you say that about Ronda Rousey,
yeah.
you are showing how stupid you are. Because guess what? 2 years ago, Dana White's not letting her out of her fucking sight at a wrestling event.
Yeah.
You know, oh, hey, Dana, I'm going to go do this full-time wrestling bit. What? I'm sorry? What? Your contract says right here, nothing like that unless I approve it.
Yeah. It's probably in those exact words.
Yeah. And
nothing
so
like that.
To say it's 2 years too late is just stupid. Guess what? It was the most talked about thing after the Royal Rumble was mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey coming out. That was what they did their job, and they did it right. And just if your argument is it's just 2 years too late, she's not as special. Bullshit. People were on their feet saying, people were on their feet. They were excited.
Yep.
Me, I had a piece of Meat Demon pizza hanging out of my mouth, like, holy shit, Ronda Rousey. But, yeah, I'm with you. Alexa Bliss easily.
She's keeping.
Win this match, which brings us to the main event. Braun Strowman, Elias, Finn Balor, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and The Miz. In the first ever seven-man Elimination Chamber match.
For number one contendership.
This isn't for the title. This is just the chance to face Brock Lesnar.
In WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Reigns winning it.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say. What have you thought about the build as far as how they added Finn and Seth to the match?
Honestly, I'm glad they're in it. They deserve to be in contendership.
They needed something to do with Seth.
Right. But I think it's also, if Jason Jordan hadn't have been injured,
they would have been
both of them guys might not have been there. Right. Or at least one of them wouldn't have been in there.
Seth wouldn't have been in it. Yeah. He would have been wrestling. The tag team titles, Cesaro and Sheamus, probably would have been.
Possibly.
At this pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to this match. We know Elias will be the last one to enter the chamber. So it's going to be fun.
Miz will be first.
So I guess they're starting with three guys in the ring.
Yeah, they've announced it. Okay. They're starting with three. You just don't know who the other two are right now.
It's going to be fun to see Braun Strowman in one of those little containers.
Yeah.
That's going to be hilarious.
If they can get him in one.
Yeah, and you know what?
They may just save that and have him start with Miz.
You know what I would do with him? When they pick who comes in first, Braun doesn't care, and he just busts out of his cage and kicks it, because he could break one of those doors anyway.
Oh, yeah.
He just comes into the match and just starts tearing people up whenever he wants to. That's what I would do with Braun. Get him over as a monster. They're probably going to do things where all six guys are going to pin him, take three or four guys to pin him. I don't want to see him pinned by one person after one finisher. So I'm talking to you, John Cena.
Or I'd like to see him get released early because somebody, screwed up and broke his, pod or whatever,
Yeah.
Somebody gets suplexed or something through the pod and Braun Strowman's just like, okay, I'm out now.
Okay. Yeah. Unleashing the monster.
Yeah.
So,
if they could do that, that'd be a great way to bring Elias in. He's announced that he'll be the last one, but somehow somebody breaks it open to where he's a part of it early.
Braun could break it.
Yeah.
I see that. So,
want to see stuff broken.
So, Braun's probably going to have to be the guy to get beat. He's going to get hit by every finisher. That's how you get a monster over. It takes Elias doing his finisher. It takes Finn Balor doing a coup de grace. It takes John Cena to do the AA. It takes Roman Reigns with a Spain. A spear. Seth Rollins with the knee. The Miz with the full, or the whatever. The
skull-crushing finale.
What's Elias's finisher?
I don't know. Hmm. I can picture it in my head, but I don't know what it's called now.
I don't know what he calls it either. Oh, well. But, yeah, that's how you take out Braun Strowman, then three or four guys pin him, and he gets out of the match. Or at some point what they're going to do is three or four guys are going to pin him, and he pushes them all off. And they're all just going to go flying, and that's going to be a great
looking
thing.
Does the Miztourage show up and somehow get in?
Yeah, they're going to...
They're going to sneak in while they're letting somebody out?
They're going to be... What if they're under the Elimination Chamber and they open up one of the grates and come out through that? That'd be kind of like Ninja Turtle-esque, That'd be kind of cool.
But if that's the case, then, the Good Brothers could show up too.
Yeah, but... I don't know. They're not as annoying little bastards as.
Right.
But yeah, I could see the Good Brothers showing up, Gallows and Anderson coming in and raising little hell to help out Finn. So there's multiple
All
ways
for
you
nothing.
Go. But in the end, the last man standing will be
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Right. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, I think Mike has a little list he wants to go through. So if you don't want to, this is going to be probably the end of the wrestling talk. Well, actually, before we go, we'll go do Superstar of the Week and then we'll come back. And if you don't want to listen to any more wrestling talk, you can stop. I think Mike's got a little SNL list he wants to go through. You've been listening to the Oversell Podcast, and we're going to go ahead and do our Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week? Seth Rollins, easy.
Dude, I didn't even turn the thing down before you said it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
How easy it is.
Seth Rollins is your Superstar of the Week. All right. All right. All right. I mean, I don't want to just say Seth because that's
but he's deserving of it.
He is. I mean, he is. But let's see. You know what? It's kind of a given. It's Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, 65 minutes in a match, he pinned Reigns and Cena both consecutively.
Yep. I will say this, not Asuka for her promo skills, because that was...
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, well, they
I mean, it's not really her fault.
No, that's not. You don't put a mic on her.
Yeah.
And if she does, she says, like, three words.
Yeah, you don't give her, like, a questionnaire or anything.
Give her four words. Asuka's gonna hurt you. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Seth Rollins. I'll just go ahead and say it. Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have an SNL list for you, just something a little fun to end the show on. This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back again.
That was different.
Hello, my friend. Hello. I love that movie. What was Saving Silverman?
I think I saw that.
Jason Biggs, Steve Zahn, Jack Black.
Yeah.
Arlie Emery, of all people. Amanda Peet. Yep. So Mike has found an interesting list he wants us to kind of go through and just pick apart, make fun of, and or agree with. Mike, why don't you tell him where you found this list and what it is?
All right. I found it originally on MSN.com, but it looks like it came from somewhere else or somewhere else linked to that or something. But it's obviously this is opinion, but this is supposedly the 30 funniest SNL skits. You know, we've talked SNL several times over the years on the podcast. I mean, it may have been on our first episode, I think.
Yep.
We discussed it because that was around the time when they had their big, 40th anniversary or something?
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense because they're in their 43rd season now. Some of these, I don't even know. Most of them I do because I watch SNL I don't know how many episodes of SNL I've seen over the 43 years, and I'm not even that old. But I don't think it's in any order. I hope not, because that would be really bad. But just kind of get to go through some of these, and then we'll throw in what we think should have been on the list, because I know there's going to be some. But first one they have, Wild and Crazy Guys. Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd.
Top skit. That's a top skit.
Yeah.
It was always funny when those guys on.
Yeah. And that was back, you know, when that was the first couple seasons, mm-hmm. if Steve Martin was on there.
Yep.
Here's one I know that you'll agree with. This was hilarious. Matt Foley in a van down by the river.
No, which Matt Foley? Because they did several skits. Was it just the skits in general, or was it?
I'm thinking most of these are just in general.
Okay.
Because a lot of these, but I mean, the picture it has is the one where he comes in the house, you know, with David Spade and Christina Applegate.
Yes,
and
that's the best one.
Yeah.
Because that's why I was asking.
Falls through the table.
Yeah. What's that over there, Dad? Is that Bill Shakespeare? Huh?
Yeah.
Actually, we kind of encourage him in his writing. Why don't you just shut your big yapper?
35 years old, thrice divorced, and living in a van down by the river.
Yep. Classic.
Yeah. Chris Farley, he was great on that show.
Yep.
More cowbell.
Top skit. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. Little Blue Oyster Cult there. Christopher Walken was the host for that episode.
Yep.
Will Ferrell, of course, the infamous cowbell player.
Oh, yeah. With just the outfits. They were in the whole 70s.
I got a fever. And the only prescription is some more cowbell.
Not bad.
I've been working on my walking, yeah. And like I've realized, like on certain words, like cow, you cow.
Yeah.
I got a fever.
And when you say cow, that reminds me of Harry Carey, and like when Will Ferrell would do Harry Carey.
What's with the
What's and with I, Mike I do Tyson? Believe that that's on the list, too.
And if the moon were made out of barbecue spare ribs, would you eat it then? Would you eat it? I know I would. Then I'd wash it down with an ice cold Budweiser.
And this is funny because a lot of listeners may not know this, but you have pretty much of a hatred for Will Ferrell in movies.
In movies, yeah. When it comes
outside of SNL,
when it comes to SNL, truly, you know, he's probably easily top 12, top 10 of castmates of all time because it's George.
And
Bush.
That's something we need to get into now because I want to know who like your top 10 would be.
I mean, that's a.
I mean, we don't have to do it right now, but I mean,
you know what? No. We can kind of pick in that list. My top 10: Belushi. You'd have to have him in there.
Okay.
Farrell, Farley,
right.
Sandler, Spade, Hartman. You have to have Hartman, Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
How many is that?
I don't know. I think we're just kind of naming them now.
Hold on. Belushi, Farley, Farrell, Sandler,
Hartman. Yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
Definitely would have been on mine.
Bill Murray. Dan Aykroyd.
I'm throwing in Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig, yeah. I don't think I'd have her in mind. Because I'd put rather... I think Gilda Radner, easily. I think she would have been... and that top spot, then you're just...
Yeah, that's why it's just, you know...
It's very subjective.
Because, I mean, I think Jimmy Fallon
can be up there. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Chevy Chase, but he was only there like one or two seasons.
Yeah, he was there for one.
Yeah.
And when he left, that caused a big fight between him and Bill Murray.
Yeah. Steve Martin.
You got Steve Martin there. You've got...
Chris Rock.
You got, you know, say what you want about his movie career afterwards, but Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider was very funny on that show. He's got to be in there. That'll be my 10th.
Okay.
Because he was, you had Sprockets, you had Wayne's World, you had everything, Linda Richman, you know. Mm-hmm.
But then that throws in Dana Carvey.
Yeah, you got Church Lady, you got.
But I'm thinking of women, too, because, you know.
Well, I said Gilda Radner.
Yeah,
because
Kristen Wiig. Currently, right now, I don't know if you're watching a lot of it now, but
no.
Kate McKinnon, it's the Kate McKinnon show. She is amazing.
Okay. Here's a non-popular opinion. I love the Ghostbusters movie they made with them.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon stole the show.
Yeah.
She Chris Jericho'd that movie.
Okay.
She HBK'd that movie. That ended up being her movie when that character got introduced.
Yeah.
I mean,
and, you know, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Jane Curtin. You know, she had a lot of... Then you had Molly Shannon. You know, she was
really the first woman
that did a lot of physical comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer.
Sherry O'Terry was always funny on that show.
And some of the hosts that have, you know, been there frequently or even show up, like Alec Baldwin. You know, he's kind of part of the show now doing, you know, Donald Trump. But
he hosted
tons of times.
That is one of my problems with SNL. These days, I don't know. It's far too political for me.
No, but it's always been that way. I mean,
I can't remember it being too overly political in the Farley, Sandler, Spade, Schneider, Kevin Nealon days. I don't remember it being that political.
Well, that's only because there wasn't. I mean,
Clinton in the White House.
Yeah, but that's when. What's his name? Who was Bill Clinton? On the show.
Hartman did it. After him was...
Because he does the voiceover now since...
I know who you're talking about.
God, I cannot remember his name now.
It's kind of a girly name, I think. I know who it is.
Yeah.
I know who it is. I know who you're talking about.
But
and the
it
name
didn't really
hit me.
Start until that. And then they were like, okay, we have a gold mine here. Cause
yeah, but nowadays it's like... It's almost gotten to the point where it's kind of lazy to me because, you can make... It's too easy to make a Donald Trump joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
they write themselves.
Yeah, it's just and I just don't find it funny anymore. And it's not because I'm defending Donald Trump. I don't right. like Donald Trump. I don't like politics in general. And I want a show where I can take a break from politics like that right. and political humor. I don't give a shit about your political takes. I really don't. I don't fucking care who you vote for. You're never gonna know who I voted for.
Right.
Don't like fucking talking about it. I want a show where I can laugh. That's why I love the golden, to me, the golden age of Saturday Night Live was the Sandler Farley era. Because you had such funny skits. You had Gap Girls, you know?
Gap Girls was great.
You had Canteen Boy, you know?
The Denise Show.
You had Linda Richman. You had the Chris...
Wayne's World.
The Chris Farley Show. You know, it was just funny. You know, Phil Hartman with his Frankenstein, you know, character.
Yeah.
All the characters just Phil the Hartman did.
The caveman lawyer. Whatever.
Yeah. His Frank Sinatra was always hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil Hartman.
Another funny one. I don't know if he'd be in the top 10, but Horatio Sands.
Yeah, he's funny. He's that guy that just, all he has to do is just stand there and look awkward, and he's going to make you laugh. He doesn't even have to do it. Like, when they used to do those skit, it was usually Jim Fallon and the host, and they worked at Jeffries, I think. And they would always be folding clothes. Horatio Sands just shows up, just looking awkward as hell in this store, and Jimmy Fallon can't even look at him without laughing, you know?
Because the one where he walked in just wearing, where they were everywhere members just only wearing leather.
Yes,
and everything just, they had the sound effects of the squeaking and, it was hilarious.
Anyway, let's go back to your list.
Okay. This one you may not be familiar with. David S. Pumpkins. It just happened in the last year. Like, it was last season. Tom Hanks was hosting. It was Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, a couple people were on this ride. It was like this haunted elevator ride. And, you know, they'd stop at each floor and, you know, there'd be like a vampire or, you know, Frankenstein or some alien or something. And then they got to a floor and it's David S. Pumpkins. It's just a guy wearing a pumpkin suit. I mean, there's the picture.
All right.
And, I mean, it was Tom Hanks, you know, he pulled it off being funny and all, and had a couple guys with him that, like, just did weird dances.
Okay.
And what made it funny was nobody knew who David S. Pumpkins was. And he was on 73 of the 100 floors of this ride. But they never explained who David S. Pumpkins is.
Okay.
And it was one of those kind of awkward funnies because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
but
and here's another thing about SNL. They've gotten away. Sometimes you're watching a sketch and it just goes on for entirely too long. It's like you hit your
thing. Yeah.
Let's move on.
And that still happens today. I mean, there's always
it just sounds like this
bombs.
David S. Pumpkin kind of, it, to me, you know, I don't know.
But, I mean, this was such a hit. This season, they had David S. Pumpkin's, like, animated special.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't have put this in, like, the funniest 30 ever, but it had a quick impact for being as new as it was.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Hilarious. Yes.
With Eddie
Murphy. Yeah. Who is?
Yeah.
Oh, kids. That's the landlord. You know what we do in landlord? We go out the window.
Yeah. It was Eddie Murphy. I mean, that's all that needs to be said. I think one of the quotes here, it's got on it. I always wanted to live in a house like yours, my friend, was part of the song. Slipping into his trademark sweater. Maybe when there's nobody home, I'll break in. This one here launched Andy Samberg. Lazy Sunday.
With
Chris Parnell.
We like that Chronic.
The
what?
Chronicles
Coles
of
Narnia.
Narnia.
Yep. Okay. That started the whole digital media.
Yeah, digital shorts.
Digital short craze, yeah. The cat lasers, I think. That one made me laugh a little more. Just because of how
laser cat.
Laser cat, yeah.
This one I am not familiar with.
I just thought of Kenan Thompson coming in. He had, like, cats wrapped around his wrist.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, it seems like he's been there for a while now.
Yeah. This one I'm not familiar with. Tom Brokaw pre-tapes. Dana Carvey was Tom Brokaw.
I remember that. Former President Gerald Ford. And he had to, it was like some of the weirdest.
Was mauled senselessly by a circus lion in a convenience store.
Was mauled senselessly, but yeah, I do remember that one. Yep. That's pretty funny.
Here's one that was always hilarious. Celebrity Jeopardy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Even the one they did recently when Will Ferrell came back was pretty funny. Because Tom Hanks was Tom Hanks. I love that.
Daryl Hammond. That was
that's
his
it.
Name.
That's who
name.
I was thinking of.
It just
yeah.
popped up here.
I was looking that up. Yep.
It's Sean Connery.
Hi, Trevac.
Because I remember being back at Lasertron, AY had a disc that we would just play, and it would be, you know, different SNL, like, Celebrity Jeopardy sketches.
And you don't even need to see him to be funny, because... No. Oh, take that, you Canadian punch.
Yeah. And we had seen them all anyway, so, I mean, we could picture it when it was playing.
Did you see, speaking of Jeopardy, did you see the thing where the nerds couldn't answer any football questions right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Man, how spicy was Alex Trebek getting in that, dude? You know, that's the point, like, if I was if I was a contestant in Jeopardy and I was just kind of hanging in there, after that category, I answered all those correctly. I knew every, it's like, yeah, I would have won Jeopardy that day. Yeah.
Point counterpoint. This was Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd.
Vaguely remember those.
The most famous line in the I forgot exactly.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, that's the most famous line, and it was hilarious at the time. Granted, it was before my time when it aired, but I've seen it. This one was kind of funny, but I wouldn't have put it in top 30. Mom jeans. It was one of their little infomercials.
Yeah, that's not the best commercial they ever did.
No,
that's not Crystal Gravy.
Yeah.
That's not Uncle Jemima's pure mashed liquor.
Colon blow.
or chocolate donuts.
Yeah.
That's one of
my
favorites.
That was a good one.
Hi, I'm John Belushi. He's like got a cigarette.
And that's one that's not on the list.
Chocolate donuts isn't?
Well, no.
Oh.
It's not. No. But
chocolate donuts isn't?
It reminded me of when John Belushi would do the, like, Samurai Taylor and Samurai Anything.
Samurai Sandwich Maker. That's one of my favorites. Oh, did you put mayo on there? I didn't want mayo.
But, yeah, none of those are on here. That's
list,
what I said.
That list is all right. If you're going to have that newer one, that Sam S. Pumpkins one, and not have Samurai, Jim Belushi's Samurai character, yeah, this list is whack.
This is one of my favorites. I watch it every year when they do the Christmas special. The Holiday Wish from Steve Martin.
Okay.
He's basically just sitting down by Christmas tree, and he's like, you know, this holiday season, I wish, it was something like, you know, I wish for all the kids across the world to hold hands and, you know, joy, peace, and harmony. And then he's like, if I had two wishes, he said that one, and then, you know, I want peace across the world. And then after that, he's like, three wishes. He repeats the first two, you know, he keeps going up every time. But then he's like, I'd want like $100 million put into my bank account every month for the rest of my life. And then he's like, I want revenge across, you know, revenge against my enemies. And then he's like, he wants a 31-day orgasm. But then he's like, okay, if I had those wishes, we're going to put the orgasm first. And then he keeps going on and on, like, switching it up. And then the last thing he says, and then, of course, all the kids of the world holding it. And that ends up being the last thing that he wants.
Okay.
But it's hilarious. Chip and Dale's.
Top skit. One of the best. That's one of the.
Patrick Swayze,
that's
Chris
probably,
Farley.
That's probably Chris Farley's best skit of all time. Yep. Of all SNL. That's probably Chris Farley's. And he had a lot of great ones.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best one. I don't know.
I'm glad they put the picture of this one, and this is the one they're actually referencing, and you'll know it is. You'll know exactly which skit I'm talking about as soon as I say it.
Okay.
Debbie Downer.
The Disney World.
That's the one.
With Horatio Sands wiping tears away with a waffle.
With the Eggos, yeah.
With the
Mickey waffles.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Mickey waffles, yep.
But I remember that, you know, Lindsay Lohan was hosting that one.
That was so funny. That seriously, that's,
everybody broke.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yeah, probably that's another top skit.
But the Debbie Downers were always.
Yeah, but nothing was as funny as that.
No,
one.
No, that was the best one. But
yep.
This was a classic one, White Like Me, where Eddie Murphy.
Yes, I remember that one.
Became a white guy.
Yeah, and went to a bank, and you're like, and the black dude was like, you want a loan when you have no license, nothing? And the guy's like, here, just take this money. You're white.
Yeah.
Like, and then at the end, you see Charlie Murphy in that skit, too.
Yep.
So
that was a classic one. Spartan Cheerleaders.
Classic.
Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry.
I can't think of a one that was funnier than the others because they were all pretty funny.
Yeah, and they were all pretty much the same.
Right, right. You know, like, I like when, you know, it was always, they were always the cheerleader at the worst kind of events for a cheerleader. Like, swimmers don't need cheerleaders, you know?
Right.
Chess people don't need cheerleaders, and that was funny. The Tom Hanks one, where he's like the ghost or the spirit of Spartan's past or whatever, yeah. That one was pretty funny.
And another one that's not on there, but that one reminds me of, is Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer. They were like the middle school chaperones or whatever, but they did little songs.
Yeah,
the dances
they were kind of like, they were a bad version of Captain and Tennille.
Yeah. Daily Affirmation.
Stuart Smalley. Very good.
The one they're referencing is the one with Michael Jordan.
Is that, you know which one was funnier to me? And I don't know if Michael Jordan was on this one, but I think Charles Barkley was on it.
Charles Barkley was on one.
Okay, and Muggsy Bogues walks in. He's like, man, you short little midget. And Al Franken, Stuart Smalley just go, no!
Yeah.
We do not say that. And
this was more recent one, but Bill Murray sings the Star Wars theme.
Okay.
I think this was during the 40th anniversary. Because, you know, prior to that, way, way back when he was still on the show, you know, he sang the Jaws theme.
Jaws!
And, yeah.
Jaws!
But anything Bill Murray is a part of.
Yeah. I always liked that when he'd do the skit with Gilda Radner, he was always giving her noogies. I love that one.
Here's one I know you'll remember. Brian Fellows.
I'm Brian Fellows. That bird bites you, you're going to get rabies.
Brian Fellows' Safari Planet is the one that they're referencing. But
Tracy Morgan was so funny.
Yeah.
He really was. And, like, I like the way he delivers himself on that show. He just screams.
Yeah. The one line that it's got on here. Well, actually, there's two. But one of them, I once saw a video of a monkey washing a cat. That's crazy.
I once saw a video of a monkey washing a cat. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Toonces the driving cat.
That was pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
All right.
Because, like, at one point, the cat, like, had another cat's skin over it. And they, oh, no, it's Toonces. And then the cat went off the
side. These are some of my favorite ones. Stefan. This was recently, not recent, I mean, he hadn't been on the show in 5 or 6 seasons now, but Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah.
Come out Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Some of those.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because the funniest part about it is he said, like, later in interviews, when they gave, like, when they had the cue cards up for him to read those at that time, that was the first time he was reading those cue cards.
Oh.
They surprised him with stuff. And, the funniest one that I can remember, something like, you know, at the whatever club he was talking about, he said, you get to see Moombas. And Seth Meyers is like, what's a Moomba? He's like, it's like a Roomba, only it's a midget on a skateboard that rolls across the floor eating garbage.
That makes whatever.
This is pretty specific. Wayne's World meets Aerosmith.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
That exact one, but the Wayne's World skits were always
generally pretty good. Yeah.
I remember the one where he had Madonna on there.
Yeah.
For the Truth or Dare. Yeah. This is a lot more recent. Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer. It's another political one, but seeing her play him is... She was wild. It was great.
I liked her at the 40th anniversary when she did Matt Foley. She was funny as Matt Foley.
here's the one we talked about earlier. Space, the Infinite Frontier with Harry Carey. It's the one with Jeff Goldblum.
Didn't you die a couple of years ago?
And they make note here of, like, don't know how Jeff Goldblum didn't completely break down during that. But I mean, there was a couple times he did kind of laugh. But
Thor Ragnarok is coming out on DVD soon. And
yeah, in a couple weeks.
In the commercials, they are like, today is my birthday, today is my birthday.
And I saw on that one of the special features on the disc, Grandmaster moves in with Thor's old roommate. Did you ever see the... it was after Civil War came out, and they were like, why wasn't Thor in Civil War? And so they made a video, Chris Hemsworth actually made a video as Thor. It's like, what were you doing during this time? And he had, moved in with this guy, and, I think his name was, Daryl or something. It was just a roommate, just a normal guy, and Thor's being Thor, just not fitting in. I mean, guy's trying to clean his apartment, and he's just got Mjolnir, sitting on the floor, and he can't vacuum. But apparently on this, Grandmaster moves in with that guy.
Oh, Lord.
So that's going to be... That should be pretty funny.
Let's do a couple more, and then we can come back to this list another
day. We're almost done.
Oh, okay.
We're at 24 right now.
Oh, okay. Good.
Hanukkah song.
Good song.
Or any Adam Sandler song that he did during...
I liked Lunch Lady Land just a little bit more than Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
Mainly because part of Lunch Lady Land was Chris Farley dancing around.
Oh, yeah.
When he actually
did the video for it, yeah.
Yeah, that... That's... Me and Sloppy Joe got married, having six kids and doing just fine. Some hoagies and grinders, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich, Sloppy Joe, yep. a sloppy Joe, yeah.
That and a red hooded sweatshirt.
That's a good one. That's a good one. There's something about Lunch Lady Land, which is so much more special to me.
Yeah. Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger. I miss Cheeseburger, the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's really good.
There's a little Mexican joint in there right now.
Yeah, El Mezcal.
Yeah.
Do you remember Big Bill? Worked up at Putt-Putt for a while.
Yeah.
He was the guy that ran Max Flight. And
yeah.
One night at Putt-Putt, we had this idea. We wanted to see who could eat the one-pound hamburger from Cheeseburger faster, me or Bill. Bill, folks, is probably 6'4", 6'5", and at that time, he was well over close to 400 pounds.
He's a big boy.
I ate the one-pound cheeseburger and fries faster than Bill, and I'll tell you what my strategy was, and my friend Steve was there.
We have now become man versus food.
Steve and David Rose were all there. They gave us drinks and stuff like that, and... Here, the rules were you had to eat your burger and the fries. First one to get done wins.
Simple rules.
Simple, easy.
Yeah.
We start off, and Bill takes these two humongous bites out of his burger. I mean, his mouth is just full. He's chewing for the next 3 or 4 minutes. Steve said he watched me eat. And he got a smile on his face because... I'm just eating my normal pace. 5 minutes and 57 seconds, I put a one-pound hamburger down. That's 1 pound after it's cooked.
Oh, yeah.
I put a one-pound hamburger and fries down, and I beat Big Bill. 5 minutes and 57 seconds. And then our friend Chris Dedman got pissed when he heard about this. He's like, Bill doesn't need to be doing these kind of contests. He needs to be seeing who could do the most jumping jacks in 5 minutes or the most push-ups. Not trying to eat a one-pound hamburger. I was impressed. I impressed myself that night.
Hell
I destroyed a 1 pound hamburger.
Yeah.
You know, another time I was on call for my work, and we had this one lady that worked out of a location in Florida. I won't say her name, but she was very annoying when she called on call. And we were eating dinner. It was me, my wife, and my in-laws. We were eating dinner at Off the Hoof up in Arlington. Have you ever eaten there?
No.
Really good burger place. Really good. And they have bison burger and all sorts of other ostrich and stuff like that. Different types of burgers. I got the 16-ounce burger, 1 pound burger. She called right before my burger got there. And it took me forever because my laptop battery died. I had to plug it in, wait for it to charge up, then wait for it to connect to the VPN. Then I had to do all the blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
And this lady was running her mouth the entire time. And finally got off the phone with her. I was so upset. I ate my burger, my battered cheese and bacon fries, and someone else's fries in 5 minutes because I was so upset. It was just stress eating, and man, it was so good too.
I bet, dude.
All right, back to the list. My bad.
Church chat.
Church lady?
Church lady.
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey.
Classic. Was it Satan?
Yeah. James Brown's celebrity hot tub party.
You got to have that. Hot tub. Hot tub. What's one of the, they have to have some quotes from that, right?
Oh, hot tub, rub-a-dub in the hot tub.
Rub-a-dub in the hot tub.
I vaguely remember this one, and since I don't remember it all that well, I wouldn't put it in my top 30. The Old Glory Insurance.
I don't remember that one.
The Sam Waterston.
That must have been really old.
Well, Adam McKay was the head writer. You know, he's the guy that does all the movies with Will Ferrell now, like writes all those movies.
Yeah, I do not remember that.
It was in 95.
So that's going to be over. Did you see Crystal Gravy in there at all?
No.
That's over Uncle Jemima's Pure Mash Liquor. All
not
the, the car for crazy people. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's got a car. It's got a sink in there so you can wash your hands for 500. the it's like Will Ferrell. He's like, the truck can hold 340 full gallons of water or something. Yeah. Or Eric the Red. That's not, that fictional product's not on there. Eric the Red was hilarious.
Yeah, I told you there's a lot on here. That like this one, Will Forte is the Falconer.
That's not. Was Gumby on the list?
No.
Gumby's not on the list.
That was number 29. We only have one more.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And there's.
It's not. So you didn't see Gumby?
No.
My name is Gumby, damn it. Not Gums. I didn't hear Coneheads. Was that on the list? There was, they didn't put Coneheads on the list? Okay. Okay. We didn't hear Cabin Boy.
And the final one, just so we can finish it out and then go through the ones that should have been on there. Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton address the nation.
Okay. Funny.
That
funny.
Was funny.
Yeah. So you, no Gumby. No, I didn't hear Gap Girls.
Nope.
Gap Girls was so fun. Lay off me, man. I'm starving here. No Cabin Boy. Schmitz Gay. That's one of the best commercials. And they didn't have that on the list, Schmitz Gay?
No.
Okay. Some millennial wrote this list. Not that was just too upsetting. Oh.
Honestly, one of the funniest ones for like the digital shores or whatever, Dick in a Box.
Yeah, Dick in a Box, Mother Lover.
Yeah, Mother Lover. Like those, any of them that Andy Samberg did, basically. You know, on a boat.
Let's see who I'm trying. I'm just trying to think of like recurring characters. Linda Richman wasn't on the list.
Nope.
That Linda Richman was.
Wayne's
hilarious.
World was the only Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Skit.
So no Sprockets. Sprockets nope. Was a. Now we danced.
I liked Simon.
Yeah. That's
like do drawings.
Yeah, and he couldn't eat chocolate, and like when he finally did, he like ripped the playground.
He'd break the playground and like run down the street. Yeah.
Man, it just seems like so much, you know. The Rock had some funny, super funny skits, like Nick Cottrell. There was that one where he's on the Ladies Man. The Ladies Man wasn't on there at all.
Ladies Man.
I got my Cavassier right here.
it's like he fully supports Valentine's Day because it's the only national holiday dedicated to getting down.
You know what other skit I'm surprised isn't on there? You like it, the juice, huh?
You like it, the juice?
The juice. She's a good, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, that's another great one. Let's see. I'm trying to think, you know.
I mean, Sweaty Balls.
Sweaty Balls, yeah, with Anna Gasteyer and I think
Molly Shannon and Alec Baldwin.
Yep. Any of those skits.
And nobody broke
Anna Gasteyer is Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
I have a brown bag full of poo here. And we can decorate it in certain ways.
Because her Christmas one was great, because it was Martha Stewart's like topless Christmas special.
You know what else should have been on there? Bring it on into Omniville.
Yeah, the Omniville ones.
Or there was...
Or whichever version of it that they had. They had like Homelessville and...
There was a skit where him and Andy Samberg were Irish immigrants talking about what their life could be like for their ancestors and... Cry me a river. Oh, so he's going to sing like a girl?
Yeah.
No, men can sing like that and be okay.
Because also in that skit, he mentioned, they said something like, yeah, he's going to grow up and did a really great pop singer and, you know, they're all going to deny that they did it. But he did.
Hey, maybe our great-grandchildren can work together.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, yeah. That brings me to another one. Phil McCantry, Scottish therapist.
Yeah.
He's Phil McCantry, Scottish therapist. I've got three sizes, small, medium, and freaking huge. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Molly Shannon, Superstar.
Yeah, Superstar.
None of that was in there.
Yeah, the Night of the Roxbury guys.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah. Especially the one with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, well, and Tom Hanks, you know, he was on one too. And, like, you have to think of these skits, like, you know, I bet you when they'd have certain people, and he's like, yeah, I can't wait to do the Roxbury skit. I can't wait to do this skit.
Right.
You know, Mango, not on the list.
No.
What was the other character he did? The Missing Link or whatever?
Yeah.
When he was Monkey Boy or whatever.
Yeah. And The Rock did that with him once.
Yes. Yeah, that was a hilarious episode. The way they ate apples.
Yeah.
Spitting
them across the room. Another hilarious, like, series of them that they did with Jason Sudeikis and Will Forte when they did the old classic, like, ESPN classic. And they were always covering, like, it'd be like women's darts or women's bowling. But it was really just about their banter back and forth, you know, and it was their sponsors that was the funniest part. You know, they'd be watching, you know, women's darts, and Will Forte's character had no idea what was going on. I mean, he was just oblivious. But Jason Sudeikis was like, and that brings us to our, you know, our proud sponsor of Vagisil. And, like, they would just go into it, and then he would throw out horrible, like, puns and, like, catch lines for it. And the funniest one is he was like, it was, he kept calling it vaginal cream. And he would say it, like, 3 or 4 times, and then finally it clicked in his head. He's like, you know, that may be vaginal. Because he realized he was saying it wrong.
MacGruber. You know, I just can't believe some of these reoccurring characters that stuck around on that show for a long time, you know. I didn't hear any Phil Hartman skits. Frank Sinatra wasn't on there?
Mm-mm.
His Frank Sinatra skits were hilarious. Like, when he kept bringing in different celebrities to sing with him, and they were gone in, like, a take, and they're like, what the? That's why that lady's a tramp. Cut in front of, let's go to the next one. You know, Caveman Lawyer, we talked about that one.
Yeah. And Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. And no John Lovitz. No Compulsive Liar.
Mm.
That stuff was funny.
I like the Hollywood Minute with David Spade.
Yeah, that was great. The Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Yeah, Ace and Gary. The
Fun with Sounds or something. What was it?
Oh, I forgot.
TV Funhouse.
TV Funhouse. TV.
No TV Funhouse.
No.
Bold choice not to have those in there because Ambiguously Gay Duo was hilarious.
Oh yeah.
You know, but they had, like,
Ace and Gary,
Tootsie the Driving Cat over those. That's
like I said, you know, David S. Pumpkins was funny, but I definitely wouldn't have put it over.
Yeah.
You know, most of the ones we've mentioned since then.
Let's see. Superfans. Come on.
Yeah.
That is like.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
Da Bears. You know, and then you had Jordan on there, and, like, I remember. Jordan was all there, and Dan Aykroyd was, like, pushing, like, products with his name that, like, kids shouldn't buy. And, like, one was a tattoo kit, and the other was, like, shave your head like Jordan. He's like, I don't think kids should buy that. Oh, wait, it says on there on the box. Hey, you be careful with that.
And that reminds me of, it's still kind of fresh on my mind because it was, you know, just a couple months ago, but, like, they always do the Christmas special, so it's, like, the greatest Christmas ones. And there was one from Dan Aykroyd and Candace Bergen, and where she was interviewing him on this show about all the unsafe toys that he has. And it was like Johnny Switchblade. And it was like a little, like, action figure, but when you clicked his shoulder or whatever, a switchblade popped out of his head. And he had, like, the best one was just a bag of glass. That was it. It was just, it's just a bag of glass. That's all it is.
I may be confusing things. I was like, hey, you be careful with that.
Yeah.
There's just so many other skits, too. Eric the Red, you know, ha, 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 ha. Like, Super Fun Ball. Super Mega Fun Ball.
Yeah.
That had, like, do not stare at Super Mega Fun Ball. Do not taunt Super Mega Fun Ball. Do not throw, you know, do not. The core of Super Mega Fun Ball is made from this material. If you get exposed to it, you do not come in contact with human beings or something like that.
The voiceover ones that Phil Hartman would do, the deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
Yeah, those were great. Amazing Laser. Do you remember that product?
Nuh-uh.
It's like just, it was supposed to be for yard work, and they're putting, like, all these disclaimers on it, and, like, you shoot it at a pile of lasers, and it just disappears, like, criminals, please do not buy Amazing Laser. You know what? In fact, no one buy Amazing Laser. Let's see. Britney Spears and Tracy Morgan eat a doo-doo pie.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
He was the him as the bum. Let's see.
What was the one with the? It was Jimmy Fallon and Rachel Dratch. They were like the Boston.
Yeah, the Boston kids. Super fan. Yeah. You are.
No ma.
What about the couple that it was usually Chris Kattan and I think Sherry O'Terry, and they're like always had these innuendos, but then when like the host would say like Daddy's gonna get laid, they're like, Oh my god, what are you, oh my god, I can't believe he said that. Just seems like
Kristen Wiig had some good ones. Target Lady.
Target Lady.
The first Target Lady was the best one.
That character where she looks weird with the little hands and the big forehead, yeah. That one. Let's see. There was one that was like
she's one where I can't remember her name, but every time she talks, she's trying to one up everybody else.
Yeah, I know that. I know, but I know God.
Yeah. She had one. It was on like I think it was like prior to Thanksgiving. Anne Hathaway was on there, and she was talking, like somebody had said, I think Anne Hathaway had said something about, you know, her ancestors came over on the Mayflower, and Kristen Wiig's character was like, yeah, well, my ancestors came over a month earlier, they were on the Appleflower, and
oh, I thought of another funny commercial. Peyton Manning United Way.
Oh, that was great.
That was hilarious. I said shut the door. All right, turn around, like pegs a dude in the back because he didn't turn around for the ball. I throw the ball, you catch it.
I'm not saying I've killed a man.
I'm not saying I have. Ah, fuck it, you get it. Who wants to go party with my mansion? Yay! I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, nobody's coming.
Eli Manning had some fun stuff.
Yeah, some good ones.
He hosted one time, and it was like text that he was sending late at night, you know, because he was on trial for murder. He was like, hey, you up? You out? You up? You out? Cool. But it's pronounced cool.
Yeah.
But it's spelled cool. But it's pronounced cool. And we also have his web trainer. It's like, I confessed to the murder. It's like, no, you did. It's like granny porn, you know. Let's see. He also did on that skit. He did like he's trying to record his celebrations for Madden, and they had all these guys come in. Like he was doing the worst ones.
I remember that
when he threw the grenade. He's like, eh! he ended up like dropping a sandwich and then eating it. He's like, okay, that's a cut. Let's see. I'm trying to. Was Kenan Thompson on the list?
I don't think he was on there at all.
Did he have any recurring characters? Oh, he had the. No, that was
my favorite
all that.
One that he did. It was the. It was like an old 70s like dance show type thing, you know.
Oh, you
break into song and do it.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah.
What's up with that? And like Zach Galifianakis was like a dual flute player.
Yeah.
And
like Jason Sudeikis was always doing the running man, and they'd have just random people run in, they'd always get the Lindsey Buckingham, and they'd run out of time.
Right, and then Bill Hader was always the run Lindsey.
And then on one episode, Lindsey Buckingham was actually there. And they ran out of time and didn't get to interview.
Ooh-wee. What's up with that?
And I remember
What's
Samuel
up with
Jackson
that?
Was like just on a random one of that, and I think he dropped the F-bomb. Because he said something, and I remember Kenan was like, Sam, we can't be doing that.
I can't think of... There's the drunk girl. She was always funny on Weekend Update. She'd show up, and like one time her face was like perfectly tanned on one side because she passed out in the sun. Let's see. And then, you know.
There's tons.
Will Ferrell. I know I don't like the political jokes. His George Bush was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I always liked it. It doesn't have those jalapenos in it or anything.
Yeah.
And who did Dan? Who was Al Gore? It was Daryl Hammond, too. He would do a good Al Gore.
Yeah.
So we need to name, and we could talk. Like, I could talk on this for two more hours because, you know, back in the day, I loved SNL. You know, not so much these days anymore. Unless Justin Timberlake's going to be on, then I'm going to. Oh, I know. I know another one. Mark Wahlberg. Let's talk to animals. Yo, cat. You're a cat.
What's up being with a cat?
Yo, goat. You got a goatee. I had a goatee in the perfect storm. What's up with that?
Say hi, Mama. Said hi.
Tell you, say hi to your mother for me. And, like, then Wahlberg like meets up with Sandberg's like, I don't appreciate your impression of me. And then like somebody, Amy Poehler, you're dressed up like Hillary Clinton. What's up with that? Saturday, and Andy Samberg is just like in the background, like,
yeah.
And like they did another one where he's like talking to Christmas animals. So he's talking like to a reindeer and Frosty the snowman. And
yeah,
I'm Mark Wahlberg. Let's talk to some animals. So I think we can leave it off there.
Did you ever see Popstar, Andy Samberg's movie?
No.
It's hilarious.
I never saw that stunt movie he did either.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. But Popstar is hilarious.
See, and Andy Samberg's another one of those guys, like, as far as a feature star goes, he's not really that good. But, like, in a supporting role, like, have you seen Friends with Benefits? Not Friends with Benefits. Yeah, it is Friends with Benefits with Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
He's just great in that, in, like, the 5 minutes he's in the movie. That's the kind of role for him.
Popstar. Never stopping is what it's called. But it's hilarious.
Well, there's another movie. What was that movie did with Sandler? Where Sandler had a very young age, so they're like really like 12 years apart or something like that.
I can't remember. I know exactly what you're talking about. Vanilla Ice was in it, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, some
Milo Ventimiglia was in it.
Yeah. You know,
I think like That's My Boy.
That's My Boy. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Do you ever see? Have you seen both Grown Ups films?
Yeah.
Did you? So Grown Ups was the better movie.
Oh yeah.
But I think I laugh more watching Grown Ups 2.
Stone Cold
was great in it. Shaq was hilarious in it.
Yeah.
Like in the final fight scene in the end, and Shaq grabs Milo Ventimiglia, and he's like, starts giving him a noogie, and you hear Milo going, my brain, and then just throws him over a house. Stone Cold was great in that. I mean, I laugh more in that one just because of the, you know, you had Nick Swartzen, who was just the crazy dude. My wife left me.
Yeah.
After 3 weeks. What happened? She caught me eating a banana with my butt. And then, like you said, Stone Cold was great in it. And, like, people are trying to fight him, and he's just hitting them one at a time.
Yep.
And I love that Shaq was Tim Meadows' younger brother. Yeah. And, like, Tim Meadows raised his hand to hit him. Don't hit me! And, like, come on, Shaq, you know, and Tim Meadows was great in that movie, and his whole family was great because, like, Ellen Cleghorn was his wife, and they had, like, the same haircut. But when he showed up, I was like, what are you doing here, Boopsie? I thought you were taking my daughter out. I am not Boopsie. And then so you came looking like a black Muppet, and their reaction was always the same. What? And like, Dan Patrick in all of Sandler's movies is hilarious.
Oh, he's so great.
He climbed the rope in gym class for Grown Ups 2. And you just see his nuts in his shorts. And the guy playing Tim Meadows' son in that movie goes,
just breathe.
Someone needs to put those Someone needs to put those eggs back in the basket. And I loved him in the Grown Ups, because he was the dude watching the slide. You were two of the hottest chicks I've ever seen. So it's just funny. Funny how Dan Patrick is like always in an Adam Sandler movie now. Someone needs to put those eggs back in the basket. Oh, man. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of talking we do.
Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. You can follow me. I am at Derek, DerickOverSell.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure you check out the website, OverSellPod.com. And while you're there, check out the Amazon link. You can buy anything on Amazon, folks. We just got Star Wars Imperial Assault, which we're going to have to do something with that. I want to record us playing and talking shit, and me, you know, as the Imperial player, fucking all the Rebel scum up. You're Rebel scum to me in that game.
Okay, fair enough.
And I want to do some more, like, play Magic. I want us to record playing Magic. You know, me and Mike, for those that don't know, me and Mike, we used to play a lot of Magic.
We're nerds. Still are.
And one of our biggest special decks that we always played was, we were Land Destruction guys.
We love that.
That's, you know, it's age old war. Cut off supplies and, you know, when people are going to not win. So yeah. Me and Mike, we would play this game and like we would play these decks against each other, and like the first one that got three lands out to be able to start destroying shit,
that's it.
That you won. It's like, remember, there's a game Ben, I think, had a deck that only had like six land in it, but he can get them out quick, and then that's all he needed to get his deck going. We destroyed all of his land, and he just kept drawing cards the rest of the game. And then
just draw, discard, draw, discard.
I was playing with Kent one time, and he had a deck that was all he had never lost with it until he played me, because it was all mountains, and I played a card that turned every mountain into plains, and he couldn't get rid of it, so he had no mana, so he couldn't do anything. He's just like, this is stupid.
I remember Tommy's nightmare deck.
Tommy, oh man, that blue black, I think it was blue black, and it was his Buffalo Bills deck.
Yeah.
That thing would fuck you up left and right. Because
every time you put a creature out, it would just take one of your cards.
Yep, take a card, and you couldn't get it back because you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, his nightmare, it was his Buffalo Bills deck, because he got inspiration from me, because I built a Tampa Bay deck that was blue or red and black.
Red and black, yeah.
Which was, I think it had a lot of nightmares in it too. Nightmares were so much fun.
Yeah.
They were such good cards. And then I've lost so much. I've been out of touch from Matt. There's probably mechanics in there I wouldn't even understand.
Oh, it's nuts.
We need to do that. We need to play Hero Clicks. I know you still have all mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
got them all.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. The easiest way to get to this podcast is to subscribe on iTunes. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. It helps with our ratings. And you have been listening to the Oversell Podcast.